Hello and welcome to We the People. The United States military recently decided to open its doors to women in combat roles. There are several other countries who already allow this. Countries like Canada, countries like Israel, countries like New Zealand. In India, the battle for women in combat roles is threatening to be a very long and arduous one. At the moment, the government's stated position, and indeed the military's mind, is that women cannot be inducted into combat roles. Further, there is even a huge battle on in the courts for a permanent tenure for women. Permanent tenure is now being offered to women in the future, those who joined after 2006, but only in select roles. On We the People today, we ask why one of our most beloved institutions, the military, otherwise looked at as an institution that we all trust, honor and respect, why is this institution now being accused of being discriminatory to one half of our population, namely women? Should women be allowed into combat? Does the military need to change with the times? Let me start with Air Marshal Barbora. When you made a certain comment about why women should not be inducted into combat roles, you were really attacked by a number of women who got very angry, maybe a number of men as well, and you essentially said the time is not right, women are biologically different, women have children, these are things that are not compatible with the needs of combat duties. You then subsequently apologized, saying it was your personal view. Why, sir, why would you say this to women who already, for example, in the paramilitary, serve in any number of conflict zones? In the police, they tackle issues of terrorism, for example. So why would you make this statement when the President of India has been a supreme commander of the armed forces as a woman?
I must give full credit to the media, because they did some fantastic cutting and pasting of my that comment which I gave that day. And before I realized anything, I thought I'm going to be lynched outside.
But it may still happen,
oh,
sir.
You never know. Well, I was only talking of the Air Force at that moment of time.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that was the so-called opening for the President.
Flying the Sukhoi.
Was going to fly the Sukhoi.
Exactly. So that's the irony.
No, the fact is, firstly, anyone can fly. And I didn't apologize, please. I said those were my views on the subject. It was not an apology. The second thing I want to bring about is I signed the papers on two lady pilots who have joined combat helicopter crowd today.
Yeah.
And I had approved that, not because of any other reason, but I found them to be very competent. And I said that time also.
You said maybe one day we will be ready. No. Not yet.
Look, we in India, we never rush. Everything, our history of 5,000 years tells us that please go step by step. What happened in Pakistan? They had 7 fighter pilots who joined as ladies. Today, not one exists. There are some reasons. There are fighter pilots in the world, like you said, in some countries they are there. But they are operating in an environment, say in Afghanistan. There's a squadron commander on an aircraft carrier of the United States, a lady. But Afghanistan, does it have any air opposition?
So you're saying these are not really combat roles?
When we talk of combat role, we are talking of direct in the line of fire, face to face with the enemy. Just think back, what was the hue and cry in this country when the soldier's head was beheaded? You know by who and when. What would have happened if it had been a combatant who was a lady?
Hold that thought, because you've posed an important question.
I
want to take it to the people around.
No, what would have happened? This whole country may have gone up into flames. We may have gone to war. Because it would have been unacceptable to the Indian for a lady soldier. Forget the beheading, if anything else beyond that.
Okay, Meenakshi Lekhi, you've been in court fighting on behalf of a number of women military officers who are saying, at least give us permanent tenure. Air Marshal raises an interesting question. Implicit in his statement is the argument. If men are beheaded, well, it's of course unacceptable, but somehow the capacity of a country to absorb that is different from this if the same thing happened to a woman. I could counter-argue that and say that when a woman signs up for the military, for the police, for the paramilitary, she knows that inherently her life is at risk, and she is signing up knowing that. Should we be denying her that because somehow we feel we're not culturally or emotionally ready?
The
case which is pending in the Supreme Court is about women officers who have been absorbed by the government in non-combat roles or support arms.
Yes.
Now, Air Marshal's voice would be different if there's a lady officer sitting in ATC. Why should permanent commission not be given to her? Education Corps, you've already got lady officers, which you are willing to give permanent
tenure to.
Now, an AEC officer's right in the trench, right ahead. And if any officer can be caught, an officer who's not on permanent commission can also be caught by Pakistani army. So I think there's a logical failure in what Air Marshal
But are you
saying.
Distinguishing between asking for permanent tenure and asking for combat?
You see, I am saying combat can come subsequently. I have no objection to that. But those officers who are already in tenure, who you have absorbed as engineers, signal, logistics, where you have taken the women, it is discriminatory not giving them permanent commission.
Quick response from you, Air Marshal, that okay, we're going to debate.
I tend to agree with her in totality.
So you would support permanent commission for women?
I will support permanent. Actually, now I can say anything I want to since I'm not there in uniform any longer. But I actually may be one of the instigators that once the Supreme Court passed the order, I think in 2009-10, Indian Air Force was the first service to have accepted that.
Completely.
I'm not going to talk about
Completely.
The Army or the Navy. I'm totally for that. Why not permanent commission in certain branches, like Ms. Lakey has very rightly said, certain, please give them.
Kiran Bedi, this cherry picking. You've been a police officer and you've often been described as a tough cookie. And nobody's...
It's a phrase and it's a compliment.
That you're tough. Now you're hearing from the Air Marshal saying, all right, maybe, it's, you know, we need to accept permanent tenure, but they have to be for select areas. And he raised this question for us. If that soldier at the line of control had been a woman, would this country's capacity to absorb it, still with anger, still with rage, have been different?
I think it's a problem with the men. The woman is, if the woman is ready and she's capable and she's competent, she's willing to give that sacrifice. The problem is with the men because their psyche is very protective. What do they do with her? If she's injured, what do they do with her? How do you alter the male psyche today to handle an injured female soldier? I think that's an issue.
The issue is if it is not the male officer or the male gender in the forces.
Yes.
Is this nation ready to accept a lady combat soldier?
What if the woman is ready to accept it, sir?
Sorry?
What if the woman walks into that conflict zone knowing that this could happen?
But is it the woman's choice
or is it the nation's sentiment?
The nation reacting when that head was served. Vis-a-vis if it was a lady.
But isn't Kiran getting to the center of it when she says that essentially the response of society, even when it treats women well, is a protective one, and some women may find that patronizing?
No, not only that, you see, women are sitting right on the border, taking, you know, convoys on the, I say, Kargil and all these areas. Women, lady officers are taking the convoys. When we talk of BSF and other command forces, they are sitting on the border and they can be hit any time. So they are taking the chance, but under this shadow, they are not giving them permanent commission. Till the age of, you say, 30 plus, 30, 35, you're retiring them. It is the youth which they are giving to the nation, which I find very funny.
Now, Wing Commander Anupama Joshi, you actually went to court. You were among the first people to actually, you know, begin a legal battle to say, hang on, I want to serve longer. You're retiring me before my time. Kiran makes the point that it's a mindset. It's a mindset that you're grappling with. What's been your experience with this mindset?
To be honest, Barkha, the thing is, when we are talking about combat, I want to just pause here and say that military in itself, specifically the Air Force, because I served there for 15 years, they are still hoodwinking to the fact that they're not giving a permanent place to the women. I won the case in 2010. As on date, if they say they've given a permanent place to a women officer, they're being wrong because they've given permanent place to women in a selective number of women. Now, let me tell you this magic number of 2006. The policy inside the Air Force said that SSC men will
SSC being short service commission.
Men will be given permanent commission. Yeah. Whereas short service commission, women will not be given permanent commission. So when I brought up this point and said this is a gender discrimination, so they said, okay, we should not have gender discrimination. In 2006, the policy comes that the men will not get permanent commission. It's like
then the High Court order comes.
Then
and
the
it
High
says
Court order comes that, and says that
in 2010. Yeah. Okay, tell us that story. The first day when you go into your office, you wrote about it.
Yeah.
And tell us that.
It was really strange. I was posted to 36 Wing, which is at Baroda. And I landed with my luggage and I asked the orderly, Pilot Officer Joshi, ka kamra kahan pe hai. So he says, aapko chabi nahi dunga, sahab kahan hai? So I said, main Pilot Officer Joshi. He said, nahi, main wo samajh raha hu. He was not ready to listen to me. He said, main wo samajh raha hu, madam, par sahab kahan hai, sahab kahan hai?
So and I said, there's no sahib. Main hi sahab hu.
Main hi sahab hu.
Kiran, did you experience the kind of mindset you're talking about?
Oh, I was a champion. I didn't let that happen. Otherwise, if he had allowed it to happen, I would have been run over completely. But from day one, I said, no, ladies first. Ladies equal. So I used to stand in the equal queue all the time.
I think that's a really important point. Kalna Thale, if I can get you in with your experience. One, in your capacity as a military historian. Two, as somebody who has really come out of something traumatic. You were taken prisoner of war in the 1971 war. You made it back in 1972. One of the things you hear again and again is, as A. Marshall has said, what if a woman is taken prisoner of war? Now, I do tend to agree with what I'm hearing from Kiran, is that women must be ready to not want preferential treatments. At that time, and I'll give you my own experience, I'm not a military person, but when I wanted to go and report the Kargil war, the army was very reluctant initially because of the same protectiveness. And they said, nahi, wahan bathroom nahi hai. Hum aapko protect nahi kar payenge. And I said, no, I don't want protection and I'll use the bathroom behind the rock on the road just as everybody else, the soldier and the reporter. Now, Colonel Athali, if the woman is willing to do it, why should the military say no, sir? And this argument that what if the woman has taken POW?
As a prisoner of war, frankly, I mean, it's a question of luck that right in the border area, forward area, when the blood is hot, you can well be shot. Man, woman, or I mean, it makes no difference. Gender makes no difference. In addition, there can be probably sexual exploitation or other atrocities, which incidentally can happen to men also.
So
in that sense, really speaking, that is not an issue. I don't think last 40 years we have not fought a war. Kargil was not a war, it was a skirmish. So that kind of a war where prisoners will be taken, etc., etc., and because of that one in 1,000 or 10,000 case, you stop women from some role is not really an argument.
So, but then why the resistance? Because a tri-service study, an internal study, and this is what the army has actually cited in the Supreme Court, said that the experience so far with even short service commission officers has not been a happy one. That an internal service says women should not be allowed into combat. What's the resistance?
We have, in India, we have had some very outstanding women as military commanders in field. Not just, I mean, and the unfortunately not too well known cases of Maharani Tarabai, who led the Marathas in a guerrilla war for 27 years. And finally, Aurangzeb, a man, was defeated and died there and is buried there. So, I mean, as far as women, their fighting qualities, this, that, and leadership qualities. A very large part of infantrymen's, literally the final fight comes to almost hand-to-hand combat, etc. What you say. There you have to accept that women are physically, women do have certain less ability as far as physical issues are concerned, stamina, etc. But women are superior in some other ways. So I personally feel rather than making this into a gender issue and women doing all jobs or no jobs in the armed forces, there are certain areas in which women are far superior to men in the armed forces, be it some of the analytical jobs, be it engineering and
intelligence, language.
But would you accept that therefore based on these sort of assessments of skills, some roles should be closed to women, Meenakshi?
I will say you don't close anything, you don't open anything or everything, but you have to have people who can perform that role. Say, for example, if there's somebody who's PT Usha, who can run. So sure she can have the same stamina and maybe better stamina than male officers. Yeah. I don't want to fight on combat. I'm serious.
Why not?
I would say battles are far deeper. So step by step, if I get permanent commissions, I am controlling 90% anyways. So that 10% infantry can be left.
But one
need not fight on infantry.
I want to ask Annie Abraham, as a DIG with the CRPF, you have actually served in Srinagar in the 90s when militancy was really taking shape.
I know of a lady, not one, many lady officers who are doing their command roles, which they call quick response QRTs.
Yeah, QRTs.
They are handling QRTs in Srinagar, in Kargil, in so many other areas. But they need not be posted as a soldier on the border. There's a difference.
Annie, is there a difference?
What the Colonel said, I would like to respond to that. There is no differentiation in the training aspects when a man and a woman is inducted into the organization. Subsequently, it is said she or he is assessed in the same manner. If you have a problem, if you say so, that a woman is weaker. There are men who are weaker than the women, who are still there in the combat area.
Absolutely.
So that cannot be something which should be a discriminating factor for the woman, number one. The bullet does not differentiate between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, because I am from the CRPF, many people do not know much about the CRPF. The first all-mahila battalion was raised in 1986, and one company of the women went to Sri Lanka as part of the IPKF. And if you're aware, and it was a very bad situation at
it
that time.
It was a war.
And they were perfectly fine. Subsequently, we got engaged in Srinagar in 1990. We lost a woman there at the airport when there was a Fidayeen attack. So we were there. So this aspect that what happens if a woman loses her life, there's going to be a ruckus, there's going to be a hue and cry. I think we are perhaps overreacting.
I think that's a very important point she said there. Women have lost lives in conflict zones. Yes. I want to pick up on what Meenakshi says, ki dhire dhire karo. I want to say, kyun dhire dhire karo main? Why do we women have to be strategic always in our battles? Why can't we just bring the damn sledgehammer down?
I think it's no more a question.
Sorry? What is the dhire? It's been more than 20 years.
More than 20 years.
Kitna dhire hoga usse?
I think in today's situation, it's no more a gender issue. It's about the capacity, the capability, the competence and readiness.
Yeah.
A man could be not ready, a woman could be ready.
Absolutely.
If she's meeting the equal competency standards, she is equally eligible. Don't deny her that.
Sanjay, do you want to come in there? Almost what a lot of people here are saying is, let's first get permanent commission, then we'll fight for combat.
This is a story that repeats itself in many fields, in the bureaucracy, in the universities, in the police. Women are never ready, right? It's always said women are ready. And it's not a story only about the army. And in the corporate sector, for example. But we know that women get to these positions, and it's not the end of the world as we know it, which is the story we are told.
Yeah.
The second thing I want to say is that it's remarkable to me that we know that women can bear the pain of childbirth, but they're not supposed to be good enough to fight in combat. And I think I completely agree with Kiranji that it's really about competence. And I think it's a dangerous precedence to say that we should take this much and not any further, because that actually then presents a status quo which says that, well, women can do some things but not the other kinds of things. And I think the biggest problem
is... So you're actually defining the glass ceiling there.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is the manner in which we look at women as, in fact, tradition, that women are this is what men do. And that's an issue of masculinity in our society.
You're reinforcing stereotypes of socialization.
Absolutely.
There. Amita Mullawattil, you're of course a principal of Springdales, but you also grew up as the daughter of a Navy officer whose warship was sunk by the Pakistanis in 1971. Is this a gender debate, or is it a debate about capacity?
I've been listening to this business about protection and stuff. I think we have to go back to schoolrooms, really, because I'm here as an educationist also.
Please.
Because in the school, the way that parents react to boys vis-a-vis girls, I think that's a very important part, Barkha.
Yes.
And I think it is very important that, because we see that in assemblies, if a girl faints, then the whole lot go rushing over there. A parent comes in. They are insecure about the way the girls are being handled. So I think we have to really look in the schoolrooms at how we can change mindsets.
Yeah.
Because the whole gender issue comes up in a schoolroom. And today, boys don't want to come into the service.
Yeah.
Leave alone girls. Mm. That's another issue.
No, so therefore, given that, would you support opening up women, A, to permanent commission, B, to combat?
No, surely. I think girls, I think women should be in as many spaces as they should be in. And I think, viva to that. I am a little sort of iffy about the combat part right now.
Because
I feel, for the essential reason that I feel that first we have to change the mindsets of the men. And I think that itself creates a lot of issues. As I've been listening to it, there are issues about physical fitness. There are issues about do women get into the trenches and work with men and so
they
on
do.
And so forth.
But why are you iffy? Why are you iffy? When you say you're iffy, you're not convinced. Why?
Well, you see, I've grown up in the Navy and I've had a husband in the Army. And he's a paratrooper. Unfortunately, it's a male bastion. Proximity, camaraderie with the men, the kind of language. I won't say it's abusive. I won't say it's violent. It is used as a macho language, unfortunately, for whatever it's worth. And the kind of language that is utilized amongst the men and their officers and so on. So my point is that first, in schoolrooms, in colleges, in universities, we have to believe.
Ma'am, you're then talking about another 100 years.
No, I'm not. I want it to be as soon as in the next 3 years.
You actually wanted to come in there. Lady officers are sitting on Siachen, and they are doing the same job. My point was slightly different. The women group is the officers' capacity, but not the lower ranks.
Yeah.
So that is where I am saying the combat role can vary. Once you raise a combat battalion of women, when we are having issues, for example, in Northeast, when there are cases about AFSPA should be lifted and there are rape cases and sexual harassment, etc., etc., I am of the opinion that why don't we raise a women battalion so that at least these issues are taken care of,
but,
and let women officers command that combat role.
But
I have to say, I'm personally...
Command women?
Women should command men.
Yeah.
Women,
there is the problem.
Men
are not
to
ready
change.
To accept women as their commanding officers. There are very many cases, and when there has been insubordination by the men for the officers, the women officer have been counseled by the senior officer. I've personally gone through that, and I've been told that this man has come from a feudal kind of a background. So, Anupama, you must understand it.
I have been told,
but that's
exactly where I want to come in. That is what disturbs me, that the rationalization that we're finding, our mindset.
No, that is incorrect. Barkha, I have had interaction with lady officer who say we are treated the best by our juniors.
I think there's 2 points. One is that you have to start somewhere. We can't keep saying that the people are
time
not
is
ready.
Not right. Yeah.
Time is not right, people are not ready. Secondly is I think we have to really stop using terms like lady officers and gentlemen officers. Mm. Because that is part of the ideology of protection. So we
completely.
Have to begin somewhere, as there are enough officers
completely.
Here.
I would like to say that the presence of women makes the men better.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
It. They are much better having women. I have commanded a male battalion in Mizoram. Mm. And that's a group of more than 1,000 people. And I was the only woman there and nobody else. There was no other woman, no lady wives, absolutely none. The moment I stepped into the battalion, obviously the men tried me. I had to be a little harsh with them. I needed to send across the message that I mean business and you have to take me very seriously. It took me a couple of months.
So you had to work harder than your male counterparts, right?
Absolutely no problem. It doesn't matter. I had absolutely no problems. And I also have had the opportunity to command a Mahila battalion. And let me tell you, commanding a male battalion was much easier for me.
But why?
That's a very sexist
Why? Yeah, Amita saying you're being sexist.
That's not a very happy statement.
No, but no, I will tell you the reason for that. Let me tell you the reason further for that. It's because the women have got a lot of administrative issues. It keeps cropping up all
I'm
the time.
I'm glad you've raised this. Elaborate on it.
Yes. And obviously...
What is an administrative issue?
You see, supposing, as far as the CRPF is concerned, we were supposed to move at a short notice of less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
And we joined in 1987.
Yeah.
And it was... They would say the aircraft is ready, it's on the tarmac, and pack up. And now there would be women with children. It was the early years, we had very few women of that kind, and they could go. But as the battalion started getting old, there was a problem. The children would be with them. Now, where do you send them at that point of time? Now, we had to get the strength. At the same time, we had to answer their questions. So we had to do a lot of permutations and combinations. Obviously, being a woman, I had to empathize with them. But within that constraints, I had to operate.
You've raised a really important point, and it happens almost in a lot of professions where hours are not fixed, where your response time has to be based on the situation. I do not compare television journalism with military duties. But I can tell you that patriarchy is rampant in our homes where men are not doing co-parenting. Mm-hmm. You do have women who, once they get married and have children, they will have a greater degree of problems in being able to just be there when needed. Even as a female boss or a female superior, this becomes a problem. And when we're saying let women into combat, at that point, because you don't have men right now who will say, mera bachcha abhi mere saath hai, mujhe kahin chhodna hai. Because there's no co-parenting. Is this not a genuine problem that's being raised here?
That is why you need to factor this in. When you, first of all, you can't ignore women in equal opportunities. But you also can't deny women equal opportunities because they are mother plus.
But so don't women have to make a choice as well? Sometimes women, we say we can't have it all. Is that true? We can't have it all. Do we have to make a choice?
Malka, there are women and women. Some women will say we can't have it all. And some women will say I will have it all.
But a military is like no other job.
Women were not allowed to have children for first 5 years of service in the flying branch because they said...
Were men also not allowed to have children for first 5 years?
That's the point. So the thing is that they said that if you go pregnant, if you go on leave, the Air Force will lose out on the money invested on you. So, you know, it's 5 years time for you to give
in. Do you find that fair?
Absolutely not. It's a woman's right to...
Marshall, I'm actually empathizing with the argument despite being a proud feminist, because I'm saying I can understand that the military does not want people who can't respond when they're needed. I can understand that point. It's a genuine problem.
Now, let me just talk about the Air Force. Please, you must understand. I've got a woman fighter pilot who is flying a MiG-29 tomorrow. Okay? She's on ORP duty. An ORP duty means you are on readiness to take off in 2 minutes' time to be able to engage the enemy if there is a requirement. In peacetime also, we have this.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it can't happen to men also. Man can have a stomach ache. He has to run to the toilet.
Yeah.
But there are certain issues in the biological system of the lady. There are certain times of the month she might have issues.
So come on, how is that relevant?
No, I'll tell you, because when you get up there, I'm sorry, when you're getting
to
up
to have a period, you know, doesn't stop anybody from performing their duties. I had one in Kargil in 1999.
No. When you're going to get into that aircraft and fly it to do a live interception, why aren't you understanding?
What if the chap has a stomach infection at that time?
No, he can
be dropped out.
We have a standby. One. The next thing. Let me put up another few constraints, please. Please understand. Helicopter pilots. I served in the Northeast as a commanding officer. Their helicopter unit used to operate from all the ALGs and piddly stamps, postage stamp posts, serving the Northeast, Arunachal, Mizoram, everywhere. A lady pilot comes to me one day. He said, sir, I wouldn't like to do these tours. I said, why? He said, there's no toilet for us. I'm saying, please understand, there are constraints.
That's not acceptable.
There are, and of course, like Varka said, Anupama, she went behind. She talked of investment, isn't it? Yes, to make a fighter pilot, I don't know what is the costing today. At that time, it was around 15 crores of rupees. Now, no one, this country ain't rich enough to just make an investment.
But Anupama is saying that you should have put that lady officer down who said, where's the bathroom, right?
No, we did.
Absolutely.
Well, good.
Now, what about the men who make the concession?
Okay, Kirat, you want to come in there and then Colonel Athar?
I'm only using the word, is she ready?
That's the point.
That's the point. Now, if she's already, let's say, pregnant.
She's obviously not ready at that time.
She's not ready. I'm looking at readiness. I'm not looking at the gender. But if she's ready and she's a woman, she's got equal opportunity.
I think we are confusing the issues here. In the sense, one is the issue of permanent commission.
Yes.
Second is the issue of combat. And within combat, naval combat, aerial combat, and infantry combat.
Yeah.
The three, you can't compare chalk and cheese, frankly.
Why are they chalk and cheese? We're linking it to a larger, more acceptable role for women in the military.
Let us not use one sort of a template for everything. Yeah. There are some jobs, as I've been mentioning again and again, women can do far better than men.
But you're going on to the classification again
On top of that, the last one. Today, frankly, we are having a big problem of getting suitable candidates for officer cars.
Yes.
Till the time women wake up, there is a lot of glamour in the military job, etc., we will really get good young officers. Let us induct women in large number. The moment they are in large numbers, many of the issues will automatically...
Way will go away.
That's exactly what
they are no longer a novelty. Yeah.
Can I get experience of one more person here, Wing Commander Aziz Unnisa Taiba? You are one of those who could be actually brought back now into the Air Force if the Supreme Court and the Centre are on the same page in permanent commission. You're hearing all this, and I read something you said where you said it was terrible to actually take off the uniform. Now you're hearing all this. Do you feel it's about serving longer in the military or being allowed to serve in all roles provided you're ready?
The day I was putting off my uniform, in fact, even today, my uniform is hanging in my cupboard. I've still not retired it, although I might have. it was really painful to get out of it after having served 15 years of commissioned service and 1 year of training. This 1 year of training was along with the male counterparts in the same classroom, same ground and in the same field craft training. And at the end of the 15th year, they said, oh, sorry, thank you. When initially in 1992, Air Force wanted to induct women officers, they floated an advertisement. There were 24,000 applicants and there were only 12 vacancies of which you know, ladies were picked up.
Yeah.
Women are wanting to join forces, but there is a mindset which is blocking this, not giving them permanent commission. Even when you are served for 15 years, there have been a lot of biases coming into it.
So it's really about willingness. It's about willingness and capacity. I mean, actually, but do you want to come in on this thing of what Kiran said in the beginning? That, listen, if you want this, then don't ask for preferential treatment. Don't ask for... On the other hand, you know, you have offices that have flexi hours for women, right? Especially for women who may be pregnant, who are having a child, so on, who need to work from home. The military would argue that in the military you can't have flexi hours.
You see, what I wanted to say was women are not given any preferential treatment. So all this argument is basically bunkum, which is floated for nothing, because when it comes to training, and especially Air Force, they were given 1 year training, identical training. Number two, when it comes to duty hours, when it comes to performance, their performance is identical. Women officers have done it all, And when you talk about pregnancies, when you talk about menstruation, these ladies have suffered abortions. These ladies have suffered injuries. These ladies have gone through the trauma which women will go through under those circumstances. And
I was breastfeeding my child when Kargil took place. And I used to come for night duty. This was my choice.
And she should not be given permanent commission.
If I forego breastfeeding my child for a night duty, it was my choice. Air Force rewarded me. And I must say that the service is the best place for a woman to serve. I got a commendation for selfless devotion to service. But then again, what I'm trying to say, it is my choice. Give me choice. Don't give me concession. Give me a choice.
Give me a choice. Don't give me concession. I think that says it all. Now, I have to my left two women who are with the BSF. In Gurdaspur, in the Gurdaspur sector, Reena Kaur or Arti Kaur, BSF constables, actually shot down an infiltrator who was coming from the other side. And Reena or Arti hamare saath hai. Reena, pehle aap log bataiye ki us samay aapki duty thi, kya hua?
Madam, hum border fence ki duty karte hain.
Ji.
तो हमने 200-300 किलोमीटर दूरी पे एक अनलीगल पर्सन को देखा
जी.
जो बॉर्डर फेंसिंग क्रॉस कर रहा था
जी.
तो उसने एक लॉन्ग फेरन पहना हुआ था तो जब हमने उसको बॉर्डर का फेंसिंग क्रॉस करते हुए देखा तो उसने जब भी फेरन उठाया तो हमें लगा जैसे हमारे पे
गोली
कर रहे कुछ कर रहा है तो हमने अपने सेल्फ डिफेंस के लिए उस पर फायर किया.
अच्छा ये बताइए कि वो इन्फिल्ट्रेटर निकला और आपने उसको उस समय पकड़ लिया, मार दिया. बीएसएफ में आने के लिए आपने कैसे सोचा? क्यों आप कांस्टेबल बनना चाहते थे?
मैम, बेल्ट फोर्स की चॉइस थी मेरी. शुरू से ही स्टडी टाइम में मैं सोचती थी कि मतलब कोई भी बेल्ट फोर्स ज्वाइन करूं. तो एट अ टाइम फॉर्म निकले बीएसएफ के, मैंने अप्लाई किया और ट्रायल वगैरह क्लियर हुए तो
आगे इसमें. तो यहाँ चर्चा चल रही है कि जो कॉम्बैट रोल है फौज में जो होते हैं कि भाई इन्फेंट्री में जाओ, लाइन ऑफ कंट्रोल में जाओ, इस तरह से उसमें औरतें आ सकती हैं या नहीं. ये भी कहा जाता है कि औरतों की पर्सनल प्रॉब्लम्स बहुत होती हैं. तो आपके भाई शायद आर्मी में
है? हाँ जी मैम, मेरे दो ब्रदर आर्मी में.
आपने कभी सोचा आर्मी में जाने के लिए?
नहीं मैडम, पहले तो नहीं सोचा था, लेकिन फर्स्ट बार ट्राई किया, फॉर्म फिल किया तो लक लग गया.
आपको लगता है कि औरतें वही काम कर सकती हैं जो आदमी कर सकते हैं?
जो ट्रेनिंग की है जिसने वो तो कर सकती है मैडम.
आप बताइए.
मैम, ये तो ट्रेनिंग के ऊपर डिपेंड करता है. अगर लेडीज अच्छे से ट्रेन हो जाए तो कुछ चीजें ऐसी होती है मैम जो मेल्स के बराबर हम थोड़ा प्रॉब्लम हो सकती है, लेकिन एक्चुअली नॉर्मल अगर देखा जाए तो कर ही सकती है लेडीज, ऐसी तो कोई बात नहीं है.
कर ही सकती है. इज इट ऑल अबाउट ट्रेनिंग?
It is about their willingness. First of all, your own willingness, and then your skills. It's two things. Then you rise above the gender. Then you become gender neutral in a way, because your own willingness and your skills.
Sanjay, I want you to come in here. Is it about choice? Is it again and again about choice, capacity? Yeah. And fitness so, levels.
And I think the really important thing for me is to not to think of biology as destiny. And that's what's happening.
Absolutely.
Here. I mean, right. Biology is not destiny. I mean, that it is about, we're all socialized into doing certain kinds of things.
Biology is not destiny. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, final comments on what could change immediately without compromising quality, standard and performance. Also, we'll hear from the Israel Embassy spokesperson on how their decision to allow women into combat has gone. We'll also take your questions from the audience coming up after the break. On We the People, is it time for the military to open its so far closed doors to women, allow them into combat, or at the very least give them permanent commission? Before we return to the panel, let's take some questions from the audience. I have here somebody who's just about to join the Air Force this year, young girl here, so let's hear from her.
Hello, I'm Manya. I'm really happy joining the academy in July. I just want to ask, when girls can fly better than boys, which everybody staying in AFA is telling, even the trainers, they're telling that girls can fly better than boys, so why can't they be indulged into the fighter streams?
Hey, Marshall, do you want to take that quickly?
Look, like I said, there was a mention about investment. Now, to invest into a fighter pilot, it generally costs about 14 to 15 crores. I don't know if it has gone up now with the escalation. Now, we train and train and train throughout. It's not only in the training phase. Every day is a training exercise for us to prepare for combat. Now, what happens if for some reason, at a specific point of time, because of very naturalism, because of motherhood, which is very natural, the lady fighter pilot is not available to the Air Force? With the new rule positions of prenatal and postnatal going up to almost 3 years.
Amita, do you accept that as an argument?
No, listen, please.
Because,
you cannot take the loads of the fighter aircraft when you're doing combat. The G load on the pilot is such that a lady in some conditions cannot. Then the rule position also, government rule position says postnatal is 2 years something now.
No. Even if, but even if there has been some sort of practice and some sort of work that has worked on them and the kind of experience they've been given during their training, why wouldn't they be able to do it?
It's a government order. Please, I can't do anything about a government order.
Wing Commander Anupama, do you want to take that?
Yeah. Do you think the fighter pilot who are men do not take leave for 3 years for certain reasons or are incapacitated for certain reasons?
If there is something which is not a natural thing to have happened, I can suffer from an accident and be down for 2 years.
There are very
now
many
I have to
there,
retrain.
Very many
please understand. I have to retrain depending on how long I have been out. I have to retrain. And
she's just saying that could happen to a guy as well.
No one talks about
investment of money
and
there.
And they don't go back to fight at all.
Like if a lady can have a fractured leg.
Yes.
I want Air Marshal to answer my rhetorical question. What is more better, you know, comparatively less worse for a woman? Being taken as a prisoner of war and die a martyr's death or being raped by its own countrymen?
Oh, I that is a very, very sensitive subject. If I open my mouth, something wrong,
Kiran,
and cut and paste ho gaya, main mar gaya.
Kiran, what she's saying takes us back to actually what the Air Marshal had said in the beginning, that she keeps feeling that the country cannot absorb something like that happening to the woman. The young girl is saying, hang on, if I choose to be a soldier, I become a soldier knowing that risk.
See, what is happening is that this is the next generation which is challenging tradition. It's challenging tradition. It's challenging history. It's challenging absolutely a closed mindset, which is knocking at the door to say, I've arrived. Today, this generation is challenging it. They have changed.
Yeah.
They are not changing. Yeah. They are finding it difficult. That's the problem. And that's a very big challenge.
All right, let's hear from the spokesperson of the Israel embassy here. Israel has, of course, decided to bring women into combat roles. We have David Goldfarb joining us now. And David, let me start by asking you, how did this decision actually work and how much resistance did you have to face?
Thank you very much, Baraka. Well, you know, Israel stands in the forefront in the world in integrating women into the security systems in general, into combat roles in particular. Ever since we were founded in 48, conscription has been mandatory for men and for women until today. And in the 90s, we're very proud to have been opened our systems, our combat units for women. This has been a challenge. It is not easy. The system has to make a lot of changes and a lot of adaptments, including systematical changes and also to ensure that there's no sexual harassment. So there's a lot of investment here. But I think this investment has proven to be extremely beneficial to the system.
Now, it's interesting, David, that you actually mentioned sexual harassment, because here in India, often sexual harassment or rape or possible sexual violation of some kind of sexual violence is sometimes used as the reason to keep women out of the military. Mm. But you're saying that's something that you actually had to tackle, address before you allowed women in.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we changed our perception. If the perception in the past was that the women have to adapt themselves to the system, today the system understands that it has to adapt itself to the needs of both genders. Because if we want women to contribute, if we want women to be part of our systems, and today you have women in Israel who are Air Force pilots, fighter pilots, naval officers, infantry officers, patrolling our borders, fighting terrorists, whatever you need, whatever challenges we have, men and women in Israel are fighting them almost 100% together.
And one last question, though. One has read that while the training is exactly the same for both male and female recruits, David, women are given a little longer to complete certain exercises. Now, you will have men and even women perhaps say that if you want to perform exactly the same roles, then why should you get extra time?
Well, it depends between the certain jobs. And, of course, there's not 100% a match between men and women because there are different physiology is different. But I think the system needs to adapt itself to the women because in the end, women have proven themselves to be extremely, extremely contributing to these units. And you see them in the most amazing combat units you have where maybe 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have imagined. I'll give you an example from my military service. When I joined the Israeli Air Force in 96, I was surrounded by men fighting with me and training with me on the systems. 3 years later, when I was just finishing my military service, I was commanding over women and training women on the same systems that 3 years ago nobody imagined women would use. And it was already natural.
David, thanks very much. So Amita and then Colonel Atal, it's really about opening the floodgates.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, what he just said,
yeah.
I think the more women come in, maybe 33% of women, who knows? If more come in,
yeah.
Then perhaps it'll become a far better break at the male bastion.
Colonel Atali, that's what you suggested.
There are certain jobs in which women are better than men. Let them come there in larger numbers. Many of the
But might not that reinforce gender stereotypes?
No, I
Tomorrow think, somebody will I say think, women are better at running homes, so they should run homes.
I think
and
at home
work.
Today, in
but
most
that's
of
what,
the urban
that's
homes,
happening right now.
There is no gender, this thing, the remote control of the TV is either in the wife's hand or the daughter's hand, let's face it.
But that's only
so, that's a very sexist what I'm trying to also
Sanjay thinks that's sexist to say.
You know, I think what the Israeli gentleman says is perfectly correct. You know, systems are not sacrosanct. Mm-hmm. You know, systems need to adapt to what human beings do.
Agreed.
Let's take a question here, Colonel, then I'll come to you.
There's yeah. one point.
Yes.
What is the purpose of the armed forces?
Yes.
The purpose and the existence of the armed forces is to defend democracy, not practice it. Armed forces are an authoritarian and dictatorial organization. Its first and the only reason why they exist is to do its job.
So nobody
if we can do it with 100% women, we'll do it that way.
Well, let's take a question.
My observation is if we wait for mindset to change before it happens, it'll never happen this century.
Yeah.
So we should get people like the gentleman of the army who was saying, recruit people because even males are not willing to come in. It's only when all the ladies actually come into the forces and over a period of time, people will get used to it as a normal system, as part of the system. You know,
Annie, do you want to come in there?
If we want, we are looking at a future where we want more women in the forces and the police. You take a step and we take a step. I think induction of women changes the image of the organization.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of whiplashing of the army and the police which goes on human rights allegations and all kinds of violations, which I think will definitely decline once women come in.
There are many people who are saying that women should get permanent commission because they're not competitive enough. But my sister is in OTA. She's going to pass out in March. She's doing her training. And their training is exactly the same as the GCs, that is the gentlemen cadets. I mean, there is no difference. And it's like more than the LCs, the lady cadets, is the GCs who actually faint.
Aziz, would you like to see the end of the nomenclature of LC and GC, which is gentlemen cadets and lady cadets?
Yeah. See, when you are an officer, you are an officer. You are performing the role and responsibility similar to what a male officer is doing.
Yeah.
So why should be there differentiation? I'll give you an example. When I initially reported at the airbase for my first posting, there were a lot of apprehension. Should I be put for my night duties to go for, you know, security check and the guard duty? But I am grateful that my bosses, who had faith in me and I fought for it, they said, okay, go ahead. Because
absolutely. Okay, let's take a couple of last questions and we have to end.
Yeah. If we somewhere believe that there exist incorrigible disputes as far as combat roles is concerned in armed forces between both genders, then how come we have a consistent increase in the paramilitary forces? Like NSG chief recently said that it doesn't matter it's men or women.
Exactly.
We'll send our best to the field, be it Badal Sarkar or be it any in Assam also after that eve-teasing episode.
And I don't know who wants to come in on that. Meenakshi, maybe you. Some chief ministers refusing to use women commandos as security.
I agree
Some men have women commandos more. I believe
Badal do. Yeah. Mr. Prakash Singh, Badal has women
Badal
commandos.
And our Lebanese...
Gaddafi? You're thinking of Libya. Okay. All right.
Libya.
Okay. What I want to say is that for here, officers are here who have been serving in the armed forces for 15 years. Then how do we say that in 16th year they are not fit for the armed forces?
That's what I
Anupama? Yeah, this is exactly what was the issue. I just wanted to bring in another point. In 1992 when we were inducted, the chief at that time, Air Marshal Suri, was asked that why did you first, we were the first people to be inducted. So there was a hoopla about it. Why are the women inducted? So he said, I've been scouting for talent. He says, I didn't find talent in men and that's why I went to women.
Okay, I'd like to respond to his comment about why women should not be in the combatants because of what nation can face. Why does a woman's choice of occupation be decided by what a nation can accept and cannot accept?
Hey, Marshal.
Well, it is nothing to do with the nation or something of this nature. Like, what happened? I'll just give you an example of a few days back.
Yeah.
We, after the massive uproar in this country about the gang rape, which you're all aware of in December, everywhere they said we'll have lady constables, to make the ladies around feel comfortable. Now, I think a report came about 2 weeks or 3 weeks back that they said the constables themselves saying we are not feeling safe. Now, there is nothing wrong. You can come and join in any sphere, but like I agree, we have to be slightly selective as we learn from experience.
Can I get Kiran there on the constables not feeling safe?
If the women said it, then it was something seriously wrong with the system.
Yeah.
The kind of grooming they were getting because they were already getting protected. And I think they would now want not wanting to shed the protection. So something wrong with their grooming and constantly training. And they're not being constantly trained on the job, whereas the army does, the air force does, the navy is constantly on training. Police is never on training.
Yeah.
Ma'am, my point here is people in US are accepting women as a captain. Why can't people in India do that?
Well, you've got wing commanders sitting.
Yeah, a friend of mine is working
wing commanders. They'll become group captain someday.
A friend of mine has studied as an occupational therapist and working in Virginia.
We've had Major General Nursing, General. We've had...
The issue is not about nursing. I think that's what been one of the less controversial. Last question we have to end.
I think it's very interesting for me to see that even some women sort of find it, they are hesitant about saying, yes, combat, well, because we don't have an example, we tend to put ourselves in that position and think, what would it be like for a woman to be there? I may sound like I'm digressing. Let me give you an example of Iran, where law says a judge can be a person who has the following qualifications. The first one being a man. What do you think about this? This is how a state perceives what women are capable of doing.
So you're saying that you are disturbed to hear resistance to women in combat?
I'm concerned about that one woman out there. We all think women in combat position means there'll be hundreds of them. No. What if there is one woman out there who happens to be a person capable of being in a combat role? What will you do? What will you achieve by denying her this?
Amita, I think that's it's not about the droves. It's about one woman's choice. In the end, it comes down to that.
I suppose so. And I think what you're saying is absolutely marvelous. And I'm good luck to that. And I think I do look at girls looking at combat in that way.
Ray Marshall, have we convinced you at all?
No, I have already started. I started by saying that I agree with you all, firstly. except for the fact, let's go step by. Look, Indian Air Force has got pilots, woman pilots flying all types of helicopters now, except...
So how can Pakistan induct women as fighter pilots before India, sir? Come on.
No, because seven of them joined.
And
all seven
retired. Malaysia on the warships. Malaysia has been on the warships.
No, no, they became fighter pilots and by before I retired, all of them had quit the Air Force.
Try us, sir. Try us. Give it last one. Go ahead.
Army, Navy, Air Force should be going to schools and colleges picking up brilliant candidates from the NCC, the Air Force, and the Navy. You got a nursery. You got a nursery getting ready already.
We had exactly the same. I mean, Americans had the same debate about gays in the army, which was considered to be a disastrous thing.
And they had to change that too.
They change it.
The fact of the matter is, got to change with the times, got to change with aspirations. Start with permanent commission, and despite some disagreements expressed here about the step by step fight, I'm saying go the whole hog. Open your doors. Army, Navy, Air Force, paramilitary, police, open your doors. The women are waiting. Thanks for watching.
Thanks
for watching, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.